good to be here this morning with you, and certainly welcome to all our precious visitors. We are thankful for your presence and hopeful that what we have done here today is familiar to you, that you are members of the Lord's body wherever it is that you worship, and that we all have done the same things because we all believe the same things, because we're all united with Christ together in that one spirit, that spirit of unity, that bond of peace. And so we are certainly thankful for your presence. I'd like to present a lesson to you this morning, and it was read in your hearing this morning from Jeremiah chapter 28. I imagine there'll be more lessons from the book of Jeremiah. Brother Randy just led us through that book in such a wonderful way, it is kind of hard to have a few lessons on it. You know, we live in a cynical world. We do. A world that overwhelmingly believes that people are to be motivated purely by self-interest. A world that overwhelmingly is distrustful of others. A world where sincerity or integrity is really getting hard to find. A world where so many people are reduced to striving for their own interest. And a world that typically disregards what was once accepted. The morality and the appropriate standards. And those things have been rejected in order to achieve their own personal interests. And a world that ignores and disregards the inevitability of sin and its consequences, eternal damnation. And much of this, as you think about it, can be directly connected to the many false teachers that proliferate our world, the religious community that is around us. False teaching is a common thing today. It is done without regret. It is done without concern for the others who are listening. False teaching seeks to give hope to those who live in sin, promoting excitement, promoting pleasure, promoting a hope of great riches is a very common thing in the world today, and it is also a pretty good proof that what that teacher and that organization is teaching is not true. And yet through the excitement, the pleasure, and the offer of great riches, and though those things are taught, what may come to pass, the fact that it was being taught and practiced is still a lie. Even though everybody believes it, even though the actual teacher may believe it, it's still a lie. And what is true is that we must accept, every one of us. And this is true for the members of the body of Christ. This is true for those who have not yet accepted Christ. We have to accept the fact that God's word is true. And we have to listen. We have to listen to God's word and not just hear it, but we must believe it and we must obey it. So I hope to present in the time that we have this morning a simple lesson that addresses two simple questions. What makes it true? Think about that. When we receive the teaching from others, like myself or Randy or anybody who's bringing forth a lesson in any place at any time, we have to question what is being said. What makes that true? And the second question is, what do we do if it isn't true? Two very simple questions. And yet the difference, because they're so very important, the difference, because it's so powerful, because knowing of something to be true or not true. The difference is of being with God in glory for eternity or being separated from Him eternally. And so they're simple questions, very short questions, but they're very important questions. So the real question is, are we blessed in what we teach? Are we blessed in the things that we teach and the things that we do and the things that we say? You know, Hananiah was a false prophet. We read about him and his prophecy here in those first four verses. Oh, he promised great things. A false prophet who opposed Jeremiah, the true prophet of God. And we know that in our day, there are no longer prophets, as well as there are no longer apostles. You know, that's another lesson. But we are blessed. And we're blessed simply because we have something that the nation of Israel did not have. We have the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. We have that final, complete revelation of God written down here. Peter confirmed that by simply saying, we have the prophetic word confirm, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Think about what we do have. We have God's word that does not change, will not change, provides us with all truth. And that word, that prophetic word, is confirmed. Confirmed by the witnesses that saw Jesus crucified, the witnesses who saw Jesus dead and buried, the witnesses who saw Jesus alive after that death and burial. And not a few witnesses, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. And so, you know, the Bible is the Word of God. It provides us with all that pertains unto life and godliness, as Peter put it in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. The Holy Spirit was the guide that was given to the apostles, that promise from the Father from eternity. John chapter 16 and verse 13. They were promised this Holy Spirit. And now by their writings, by the things that we read, we can know the truth from the lie. And that's a blessing. That's not something that everybody has. Jesus said it best when he told his 12 disciples in Matthew. Let's look at that. Matthew chapter 13, verses 16 through 17. Well, I have that on the screen. He said, but blessed are your eyes, for they see. If you're with us and you have the Are You Listening page, that's what you fill in, that word see, for they see. And your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it. And to hear what you hear and did not hear it. What a wonderful blessing that is. They lived to hear and to see the things that we hear and see. And they never saw it, they never heard it. But we have that prophetic word. We have that confirmed word. We have all that pertains unto life and godliness. And so when we think about what makes it true, we have the word that makes or breaks a statement or a teaching. We have the word that says yes. What that teacher told you is true. What that friend told you is true. What that church teaches and practices is true. Or we have a word that says no. What that friend told you is not true. That church is not true. The things that they're practicing and doing and teaching are not true. And we all have that right at our fingertips. It's called the Word of God. And like many false prophets of that time, we too are plagued with many false teachers in our time. The process to distinguish one from the other is always the same. Ask God. You know, that's right. It's that simple. This isn't, you know, Albert Einstein and E equals MC square, or, you know, it isn't trying to figure out the science of nuclear fission or anything like that. It's really simple. We simply ask God, somebody told me this, God. Is this true or not true? Well, I ask God. In other words, like Paul said, what saith the Scriptures? That's the God's answer. He said, you ask God a question, you look for the answer. You know, when I teach Bible studies, I always tell people, you're never going to hear me say, this is what I believe. You're not going to hear me say, this is what I feel is right. You're not going to help. You're not going to hear me say that, you know, these are things that I really think are true. I'm going to say, what saith the Scriptures? You got a question? What says the Scripture? You open the Bible and the answer's in there. And if you don't have the answer from here, you shouldn't be given an answer. Simply ask God. And I'm not being overly presumptuous. You know, I'm not saying, I am saying with all sincerity that knowing the truth about things having to do with religious matters, the matters of the church, matters of faith, is a matter of asking God. Because all faith comes by hearing the Word of God. So if somebody's telling you they have faith, that faith has to be based upon the Word of God. And you'll always get an answer, and the answer will be something you can trust every single time. And I'll tell you why. Because God is all-knowing. He's not a know-it-all. You know, like me. But God is all-knowing. In other words, He's the one who has every answer to every problem right here. Just ask God. The one who will be able to provide you with an answer. And listen, I'm not talking about, God, what kind of car should I buy? What color should it be? I'm not talking about, Lord, what dress should I put on for worship this morning? Or better yet, what jacket should I put on? Or what shoes should I put on? I promise I will never come here wearing a dress. Those aren't the kind of questions we're asking God. Right? When Peter said to God, by His divine power He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I think I said chapter 2, verse 3 last time. It's 1, 3. When Peter said that, we can ask God, is adultery wrong? The answer's in here. Can a boy be a girl? Can a girl be a boy? The answer is in here. Right? Can any man marry a man? Can a woman marry a woman? The answer is in here. Can I enjoy alcohol, drugs, fornication, and still be right with God? The answer is in here. Can I divorce for any reason at all and remarry anyone I choose? The answer is in here. Can I attend the church of my choice? That's a big thing in our world today. Right? Get on the internet, surf around, look for a church that teaches the kind of things you want to hear. A church that will say, yes, a man can marry a man. God loves everybody. Yes, a woman can marry a woman. Jesus died on the cross for everybody. A church that will tell you that you can divorce any way you want, any time you want, as many times as you want, and it's okay because you're okay with God. It's not right with God if it's not right in this book. And yes, there are times that when you might have to study hard. You know, that's what the command, study to show yourselves approved. Be diligent to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Sometimes the answer is going to take some time to find. But the answer is there. And so what makes a message true? What is it that makes the teaching true? And the first thing that we need to understand is it's not true simply because it was spoken. We see that here in the book of Jeremiah. right? Hananiah spoke those words. He made that prophecy. But it isn't true just because he said it. What we know is true is when we can read it and learn it, that it was from God, from His Word. The psalmist said, the entirety of the word of your word is true. And every one of your righteous and judgments endures forever. That's how we know things are true, when it comes from God's word. You know, Jesus taught those Jews who believed over there in John chapter 8, Jews that believed him. And he said to them, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. If you hold fast to what I'm teaching, if you follow me, you're my disciple indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Right? That's what Jesus taught. And he taught that we can know the truth. The truth can make us free. The truth can make us free from all the lies. The truth can make us free from all the sin. It can free us from adultery. It can free us from fornication. It can free us from drunkenness. It can free us from homosexuality, and all those different kinds of things that we learn in this world are true and okay. You know, that is to say that, you know, we know the message is true if we can read that truth in our Bibles. I know it's true because God's word is true. That was the prayer. One of the words, the phrase that Jesus spoke in the book of John chapter 17 as he prays to the Father on our behalf, and he says, sanctify them by your truth. Thy word is truth. We know. Look again over at Jeremiah 28. I want you to look at verse 9. And I want you to recognize what we see there. Jeremiah 28 and 9. As for the prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. If you look, I have this on the screen, Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 22. When the prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. Listen, bringing that up into our time, since we don't have prophets, what we have is the spoken word of God. We have the record of all the things that were written down, all the scriptures that were inspired by the very breath of God. Everything that was written down for us. And today, if we want to know whether the message is true or not, we simply need to be like those who were far more fair-minded than the Thessalonians, in that they received. Right? What's it mean to receive? It means they took it. It was given, handed out, reached out, and they took it. What did they take? They received the word with all readiness, but then they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things are so. That's very simple. Paul's teaching a teaching, and the Jews are going, well, you know, we need to check this out. We'll get back to you later. Or maybe some of them already knew, and they said, that is the teaching, that is the truth. We've read it in the scriptures. That's what we need to do. You know, this is why the church is instructed in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. What are we instructed? Beloved, he says, believe not every spirit. What are we supposed to do? But test the spirits, whether they are of God. Right? Why? Well, because many false spirits have gone out into the world. That was true then, it's just as true now. You hear a sermon, you test it against the Word of God. Not against your heart, not against your mind, not against your feelings, not against your thoughts and the way you think. You test it against the Word of God. And whatever He said, you obey it. Right? That's why the church was instructed to do that. There are no longer prophets, but there are still thousands upon thousands who claim to be prophets and who are not prophets. And saying, you know, they say their teaching provides great swelling words and great hope, but it isn't true just because it's hope. And Jeremiah, you know, we're learning that from here. Look over to Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 14. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14. Listen, they have treated my people's brokenness superficially. You see that? Superficially. They're broken. The people are in bondage. They're enslaved. Their hearts are drawn down to nearly nothing. They have no hope at all. And here comes this prophet who superficially claims peace and peace. And God, through Jeremiah, says, when there is no peace. I like the Christian Standard Bible in that particular verse. The Christian Standard Bible says, they have treated my people's brokenness superficially. You know, it's just a terrible thing to teach something that isn't true, giving people hope, telling them that all is well, and in their life it is not all well. You know, you look over at Ezekiel chapter 13. And Ezekiel chapter 13. Verse 3 and 4. Here's what Ezekiel says. Thus says the Lord God, woe to the foolish prophets who follow their own spirit and have seen nothing. O Israel, your prophets are like foxes in the desert. They're like foxes in the desert. These are the prophets who they have not received a vision from God, but they speak of their own spirit. In other words, what's in their own hearts, their own minds. Look at Jeremiah chapter 28 and verse 6 again. And the prophet Jeremiah, he said, amen. Whoa, wait, what are you doing? This guy Hananiah, he's preaching a message of hope that isn't going to come to pass. Jeremiah, I believe, knew that because he had already been told by God. And yet he says, amen? Wait. The Lord do so? The Lord perform your words which you have prophesied to bring back the vessels of the Lord and the house and all who were carried away captive from Babylon to this place? You see what's going on here, right? Jeremiah isn't agreeing with him. He's providing great hope for the people, and Jeremiah says, amen, let it be true. Maybe you know something I didn't know. But even if the teaching is desirable, that doesn't make it true. You consider Jeremiah's vision to Hananiah. Jeremiah chapter 27, you go back a little bit, and verse 2. Thus says the Lord to me. You see it? Make for yourselves bonds and yokes and put them on your neck. Oh, that's what God told Jeremiah to tell the people. Look at verses 6 through 11. And now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts in the field I have also given him. So all nations shall serve him and his son and his son's son until the time of his land comes and an end of many nations and great kings shall make him serve them. And it shall be that the nation and the kingdom which will not serve Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and which will not put its neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon and the nation, I will punish, says the Lord. with the sword, the famine, and the pestilence until I have consumed them by his hand. Therefore, do not listen to your prophets, your diviners, your dreamers, your soothsayers, or your sorcerers who speak to you saying, you shall not serve the king of Babylon, for they prophesy a lie to you to remove you far from the land, and I will drive you out and you will perish. Verse 11, but the nations that bring their necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him, I will let them remain in their own land, says the Lord, and they shall till it and dwell in it. You see what he's saying there? He's saying that these people, when they're taken, when we looked at in verse 7, the nation shall serve him, that's a generation, his sons, a second generation, and his sons' sons, a third generation. You know, that's about 70 years. That's the message. So which one's more desirable, the message of Hananiah or the message of Jeremiah? Obviously, you know, it's the message of Hananiah. Who wants to go 70 years when you can just go 2 or 3? Well, what happens? You know, is that like, it's something that's taught often. So many times, it's said so many times that people believe it. It becomes truth in the eyes of the listeners. Something is not true. Listen, it's not true simply because it is repeated multiple times. Even though people begin to accept the error and practice according to the error, repeated over and over and over, it still is not true. You know, the Jews couldn't believe the truth about Jesus in John chapter 9 and in verse 26 and 28, that whole message there that they had. You think about what, you know, think about what happened there. You know, the teaching, listen, you know, when you look at that, if you look over in John chapter 9, just one and verse 1 and 2, a little side thing here. The teaching of Calvinism, one of their tenets is that we are totally born in sin from birth. We're sinners and we have no hope at all unless we're reconciled by God according to God's will, not our own. Not something that we can do, it's just something that God does. That we're depraved in sin. And if we consider the word of God here in John chapter 9, now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Well, according to Calvinism, they both did. According to Jesus, neither one. What did he say? Jesus answered this, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. We're not born in sin. You don't need long dialogue to get the answer. God, are we born in sin? Do I need to be baptized as a baby? In case I die as a baby? It's foolishness. And that should put an end to every question, am I born in sin? Because we're not. But, you know, we move on. What if the message is not true? Consider what we do. First, we need to be resolved. If the message is not true, it's simply a lie. Look at Jeremiah chapter 28 and verse 15. Then the prophet Jeremiah said to Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you make this people trust a lie. Revelation 21:8 tells us that all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. 21:8. You know, if you think you're okay, and I'm just following that man, yeah, he makes mistakes, and I can't really validate what he says. I don't even take the time to die. Think again if you think you're okay. Because if you're following that liar, that false teacher, you're following him right into perdition. That's where all liars go. And so that's where you go also. That's why it is so important to ask questions. Is what Dave taught today true? If it's not true, rebuke Dave. Get him straight so that he can be in heaven with me. If it is true, then I need to get straight so I can be in heaven with him. Jesus in Matthew 24:11, what did he say? Many false prophets will come and deceive many. Peter warned that false prophets are among the people. Then he said, even there will be false teachers among you. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. It's going to happen. Or 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 1. It's going to happen. And listen, when that happens, there's only two options. You learn to discern the truth from a lie. That's the most important thing. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 6. We are of God. He who knows God, quote, hears us. Who's us? The disciples? The apostles? He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Again, somebody teaches something. If it's from here and you can read it and understand it and believe it. If it's not from here, it's not true. Think about that. Think about who the us was in context. So it's the books of the New Testament that the us wrote. And secondly, we have to strive for a love of the truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10 are so powerful. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. Listen to what he says. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteousness and deception among those who perish. Why do they perish? Because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God sent them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. That's so powerful. Because if we love the truth, we're not going to perish. Right? Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. And remember that false teaching, to accept false teaching, is rebellion against God. And it has consequence. The world says all you got to do is ask Jesus in your heart, you'll be saved. Consequence, that's not true. You won't be saved. If you're a good person, you live your life, wonderful life, and you do good for other people, you never seek to harm anybody, you're just a good person, you're going to be saved. False teaching. We're not saved by works, we're saved by faith through grace. Remember 1 Samuel chapter 15? Saul's rejected as king. Why? Because he did not keep the commandments of the Lord. He called on divination. He was condemned because his rebellion was sin. His stubbornness, his desire for witchcraft, his iniquity, the idolatry. And the word of God says, because Samuel tells him, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he will also reject you. And that's true. And what if the message isn't true? We reject the message. What if the message isn't true? If the message isn't true, we simply reject the message. 1 Corinthians tells us to hold fast, lest we believe in vain. Reject that message, right? Reject profane old wives' tales and exercise yourself toward godliness is what Paul told Timothy. If the message isn't true, then you reject the messenger as a divisive person and an abomination, knowing that such a person, they're warped and sinning and self-condemned. It isn't me that condemns them. We must reject anyone who does not accept Jesus, that he has all authority in heaven and earth. Matthew 28:18. We need to do that. Well, that's it. The lesson is yours to do with as you will. And you know what it all boils down to is really simple. Believing God and believing someone else other than God. Right? You think of what John wrote, 2 John 9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Transgression means to go beyond what's written. We read that in 1 Corinthians 4:6, Paul says, don't go beyond what is written. Galatians 1:8 and 9 says that those who pervert the gospel of Christ, what is written, will be accursed from God. You know, we remember that Jesus gave sight to the blind man. And those people who were with him, they questioned him, who did this? And he said, you know, Jesus. He didn't say Jesus, he said it was a prophet. And the Jews, they came and they couldn't believe. And they excommunicated him. They sent him out, refused to allow him to come into the temple. The synagogue, rather. If you're here today and you've refused Jesus, the same thing's going to happen. You're going to be refused by God. See, he was cast out of the synagogue. But then Jesus found him and received him to himself. You can be received to Jesus this day if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. If you're willing to repent of your sins, turn away from them, confess Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, and to be baptized, to have your sins washed away. You can be a part of his church, his body, and you can be a part of that which one thing that will be taken up into heaven when everything else is destroyed. You just accept Jesus this day. And if you're a member of the church and you need some help, you need the prayers of the church, you've gone off track a little bit, you can repent also. We need to live godly lives in order to be in heaven one day with God. Do you have any need this day? I invite you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.